pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Hour number three now officially underway as we head into election. We are primary. This is a primary election weekend. So candidates out and about. And we'll know more Monday, I suppose, of kind of what's going on. I think we got a pretty good picture of it now. But anyway, still to come on the program, State Senator Chris Elliott, our returning champion, that is in just a few minutes or about a half hour or so. So please stay tuned for that. Let's go to the phone here. Joining us now, running for governor, always a pleasure to bring on my next guest from, you know him, he's running for governor, Lou Burdette on the line. Lou, good morning. How are you?
Hey, Jeff. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, thanks for making time. We appreciate it. Well, give us kind of an update from the campaign trail. How are things looking?
Hey, Jeff, we're the only ones with energy. We're the only ones with momentum. We're the only ones rising in the polls, and we're going to win on Tuesday. We're going to be in the runoff with Kay Ivey.
It looked pretty solid there with the talking about that your ascent, I guess, and even in the signal poll, maybe a little on the low side, but you feel like you under poll or that you because. There is, anecdotally, there is a lot of buzz about your effort.
Well, you know, if you look at that poll, Jeff, you know what it's like 3 days out, 4 days out, 10 days out. So, you know, even looking at that poll, you know, that's 8 or 9 days out, you know the kind of momentum shifts that happened in the last days. And that's what our even that poll signals that we've tripled in the last 40 days. We've gone up 40%. And even the last 7 days, and now we, you know, even since then, we continue to get momentum every single day. And so that's why we know that on May the 24th, we're going to be on the in the runoff with Kay Ivey, and we're the last person that she wants to be in the runoff with.
Well, tell me, what do you do? You got just a handful of days left. Well, what do you think the approach ought to be to improve your standing?
Hey, stay positive, stay on point. That's what we're doing. You know, people tell me all across the state. You know, I was in Huntsville this morning. I'm now in Florence. I'll be in Clanton tonight, and they say, Lou, we're looking for change. We're looking for something different, and people continue to find me, and that's why we have so much momentum. And Jeff, you know, you see it every day too. Your listeners are talking about it. Is that everybody else has spent millions? We spent a fraction, and there's still so many undecided. Why? Because they don't like the millions that they've already seen. And now they're coming to us, and that's why we do have so much momentum. That's why we are rising in the polls.
Well, and, you know, it is this, too. A lot of the criticism, and this is coming from, like, established media types that were probably not going to vote in a Republican primary anyway, but that this election cycle is too Trump oriented, or it's too hot button issue oriented. But the folks would say, at least you, on the other hand, are talking more about the kitchen table issues and things that kind of matter, and then not necessarily getting into weeds about, you know, spending packages or whatever the legislature's up to, but at least kind of the main focus of what people care about.
Yeah, and the reporters are calling me. It seems like almost every day, or somebody's saying exactly what you're saying. Hey, Lou, you're the only one talking about moving Alabama forward. You're the only one talking about Alabama issues. Why we're 52nd in math? You know, what we're going to do about it? Why are we 45th in health care? Why are we 43rd in crimes and prisons and mental health issues that are skyrocketing? And those are the issues that I'm talking about. And also, what resonates is limiting campaign contributions, because everybody across this state knows that we've had a corrupt environment in Montgomery and that we have to limit campaign contributions. We have a legalized payoff system. That doesn't mean that we don't have great legislators down there. We do. You know, and our great legislators, they are looking for leadership, and that's what they're going to get with Lou Burdette.
I mean, you come from that world a little bit, to being the executive at Books a Million. I mean, I'm sure you're familiar with the players and kind of how the culture of Montgomery is. And that's one of the knocks on it, right? That oftentimes it seems like the legislature, the governor, even the down ballot or down ticket offices often are very, very, maybe too concerned. And this has been throughout Alabama's history, through, you know, going back to the end of the Civil War, just the planters and the big mules, but too interested in the sort of what improves the quality of life for the elites, because the approach they think, I guess I would give them the benefit of the doubt, that a rising tide will lift all boats, and we take care of these guys, that everything else will take care of itself. But you have seemed to take a different approach there.
Yeah, and you know, and I'm for all Alabamians. And you know, it does break my heart that we're the fourth most politically corrupt state, that we're one of five states that allows unlimited campaign contributions, and Alabamians are waking up. They see that buys favor and influence in Montgomery, and I'm standing against that. And I also know, because I put a stake in the ground and said that we're going to self-impose a limit on our campaign that's not a level playing field, but that's okay. I wanted to walk the walk. I wanted to show people that I'll walk the walk, and I'll work to do what's right, and I'll do it on the front end and not on the back end. People are waking up to that message, and they see that I will stand for what's right, and they appreciate that. You know, they appreciate the stand that I'm taking. They know I'm not bought and paid for, and that's what is resonating. And they see the energy that this campaign has. They see my history of leadership, you know, and you mentioned that. And, you know, working my way up to be chief operating officer at Books a Million, and knowing how to run big business, and, hey, running this state is big business, isn't it? And knowing how to grow jobs. I mean, when I was at Books a Million, when I started, we had 250 employees, and when I left, we had over 3,000 across 16 states. So I know how to grow jobs and manage a multi-million-dollar budget and manage a big team. And legislators, just like the people of Alabama, they're hungry for leadership. You know, and Kay Ivey can't match my energy. She can't match my leadership. She can't match my love of Alabama. And that's why I'm working to move this state forward.
Joined by Lou Burdett, running for governor here in Alabama on the Republican ticket. Lou, tell me this. You just took the oath of office. You're now Governor Lou Burdett. What's the first thing you're going to do on the first day of your tenure?
Take out Common Core, work for school choice so that parents have real choice on where to send their schools, start reviewing, demanding review of our textbooks, because we still have CRT and SEL in our schools, and that's a completely false advertising what's going on. No kind of bill that took out CRT and SEL out of our schools, and our parents want truth taught in our schools. They want the basics taught in our schools. They want our kids to know how to read and how to do arithmetic, and they want, and everywhere I go where people are hiring for jobs, we can't find enough applicants that read at a third and fourth grade level. We got to have literacy programs to work. So education's got to be number one. And I am day one also going to go to work for limiting campaign contributions and complete transparency on how campaign contributions are given. And people can't hide behind all these PACs. And we got to stop the way lobbying is done in Montgomery too, and work for change in that area so that there's transparency and honesty in the way lobbying is done in Alabama.
Lou, tell me, let's talk infrastructure, transportation. That seems to be one of the key things the state does. People just want to be able to get home. It's good for their quality of life. What do you do with ALDOT? What is your assessment of it? What do you think?
Well, you've heard me. How disappointed I am that we don't, and when we have the supermajority of Republicans, quote Republicans, and there's a lot of frustration across this state when we talk about having the supermajority, but we don't ever have less taxes and less government. And there's not any of us that don't want better roads and bridges, but when we don't plan right and we don't have the right kind of vision, the right kind of leadership, and we find that our roads and bridges aren't where they want where we want them to be, then Montgomery's only solution, well, let's just tax everybody more, and that's wrong. You know, the governor should have She should have debated that in 2018, should have been part of her platform instead of sneaking it in when she was first elected in 2019. That was wrong. I want to give that money back. I want to roll back the gas tax. I want to roll back grocery tax, put more money during this inflationary period and what we're about to see in recessionary times, put that money back in the pockets of all Alabamians to help all Alabamians, and then have common sense business solutions to approach what's the right way to pave our roads and have better roads and bridges. And Jeff, let's do it with less government. Let's have things like combining pardons and paroles in the Department of Corrections. Let's combine those and do a better job and get more efficient. You know, nobody wants to talk about that. You know, even some of the legislators I've talked about, you know, let's get that done. And they'll say, oh, Lou, you know, that's just pie in the sky stuff. No, it's not. It's leadership. Let's get that done, save some money, and put that toward better roads and bridges. And let's also use, Jeff, some of the $2 billion in surplus that we had last year. Let's use some of the $1 billion more COVID money that we got coming to help Alabamians. You know, let's use some of the 3.2 rainy day fund. Hey, when you're 52nd in math and you can't say thank God for Mississippi anymore, it seems to me that's a pretty rainy day. So why don't we use some of the $3.2 billion rainy day fund we have to get some of these things done in Alabama?
Just a couple more minutes here. Lou, tell me, health care, the rural health care woes have been well documented. Discussion about the possible expansion of Medicaid as a possible solution. Healthcare in the state, what do you do?
Do away with certificate of need. We could add 6,400 rural hospital beds during COVID if we had not had certificate of need. And certificate of need, the way it works in Montgomery is that gives all the power to the big hospitals for them to have the say-so about where hospital beds can be. And that's wrong. If rural communities want to support hospitals and small micro hospitals with 20 beds or 30 beds, then they ought to be able to have the opportunity to do that. There should not have been denied 6,400 beds because of certificate of need during COVID, because there are a lot of folks in rural Alabama, like where I grew up, Jeff, they don't want to drive an hour over to the next city or 2 hours over to the next city, nor, Jeff, can they afford to, right? With gas prices like they are, and why hadn't we already put a moratorium on the gas tax? Why hadn't we already rolled that back? The legislature could have done that the last session. You know, and those are the kinds of things that frustrate Alabamians. So that's what we need to do in rural health care to advance it, is to do away with certificate of need so that these communities can get the beds that they want and not have to drive to the big cities to get health care.
Finally, tell me this. Prison, the prison construction plan, Governor Ivey, it was passed by a special session of the legislature. I don't know that we're necessarily out of the woods. Hasn't been talked a lot about on this campaign. What do you think there? A lot of questions about this one-bid contract and if it was the right way to go.
I don't ever think a one-bid contract is the way to go. You know, when it's a multi-million-dollar project or any kind of significant project, you know, we can't have a one-bid project on something that substantial, multi-million-dollar project, $400 million projects here or there. I think we do need new prisons. We have to update our security systems, and we can do it if we do it the right way, build it the right way. We can do it on half the labor and have them more secure. Those are the kinds of things that we have to do to make sure that we're getting the best price, make sure that we're using common sense business. And to me, that's just business 101. Why don't we ever have that in Alabama, where there's a common sense business person like myself that knows projects like that have to have 3 bids, a minimum of 3 bids. But we got to do something about federal oversight of our prisons. We got to get out from underneath that. We got to have the right kind of leadership in our prisons to have guards and security that are trustworthy and that are working to do the right thing. And I know that we have great guards And just like we have great teachers in this state. And then if they're not performing, then let's work to get better guards and better teachers. But we do have great schools. We got great teachers. And I know we have great law enforcement and guards in this state, too.
Lou, we got to get out of here real quick. Folks want to find out more about your campaign, get in touch. How do they do so?
Lewin22.com. Check me out. Hey, Jeff, we had over 5,000 people. This shows you what the momentum is. 5,000 people that visited our website just yesterday because people are finding out who we are. That's why we have so much momentum. And go check us out. We're on all the social media platforms. And I look forward to talking with you next week when we're in the runoff with Kay Ivey.
Lou Burdette, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.